It's Great Mondays Radio. I'm Josh Levine, your host, founder of Great Mondays. We help executives from hypergrowth technology and social enterprise organizations build cultures that attract, engage, and retain top talent. If you'd like to be a guest on our program, hang out for about 20 minutes and I'll tell you how. Hey, everybody, the coffee's hot and it's Great Mondays Radio. Today, I have with me Pam Kelly Doctor, who is a leadership coach at Intel and started and runs the Women's Leadership Academy. And I'm having her on because I am just so interested in kind of the systems that it's going to require in order to create parity inside of all organizations, but tech particularly. Pam, thank you so much for coming on Great Mondays Radio.
Great. Thank you for having me. And it is International Women's Month, so great timing.
Oh, perfect. Yes, exactly. It's always, but we always want to support our women. And I think what struck me so much when we first talked is that there is, despite our best intentions, there's just not parity. There are incredible wealth of knowledge and skill, but we're missing out on 50% of the talent because there's not enough women in leadership roles or in tech in general. How do we get them there? So I would love for you to tell me a little bit about why you started the Women's Leadership Academy at Intel, and we'll just go from there. We'll sort of dig into like what you teach and then how do we learn from that? So tell me about the Women's Leadership Academy.
Yeah, I will. So Intel several years ago took some very audacious goals to increase our representation of senior women. So these are our director, senior director, and executive levels. And the idea is to at least be at parity with the percentage of women at the company, right? So if you have 30% women, ideally you should see at the whole company, you should see 30% in those higher leadership representation levels. And at Intel, we took a goal. We had been about 17-18% at those leadership representations, even though we've got about 27% women overall in the very large company. But we took an audacious goal by the year 2030 to hit 25%. So that was going to be a big jump. And we had been relatively flat for quite a while. You know, you only have so many levers. You think about hiring, promotion, and then retention of the women that you have in those positions. And we had been flat for a couple of years and had been hearing from that population as well, not feeling valued, not feeling like they were being seen.
Well, that's gonna affect your retention for sure right there. Let's just start with that.
And when you have a smaller percentage, even a handful that exit the company, right, that are looking for something different or aren't getting their needs met from a career standpoint in your organization, that can make a big difference. The impact of one can then turn into, you know, an impact of 10 more. Sometimes you see that domino effect. So I was tasked with go create a leadership pipeline, something that's going to help support this critical population. We tend to put a lot of focus on our executives, but not as much on that critical leadership pipeline that's the next step or two away from that level.
Right.
And, you know, I started by doing some research, right? Going external, learning about implicit bias. What are some of the challenges women face? Combining that with some deep interviews with women at Intel, as well as looking at our data. So I had a few different data points and places that I conducted the research. Hmm.
And what did you, what were you looking for and what did you learn? What were the questions you went in with?
I was looking for like a problem statement, right? Sometimes you got to spend that time. What am I really defining? What am I trying to solve? And there was a bunch of different ideas out there, like do a rotation program or do something where you bring them all together and they do some high level project or but you had to focus on what am I trying to solve? And the more I dove into it and I talked and it really was this idea that it's not always a level playing field when you are looking at leadership progression, that there are some things inherent in a majority population or, you know, the impact of gender bias when we, whether we may not even be conscious of it, right? But it comes into the system. And I took away this idea that I didn't need to fix the women. It wasn't about teaching them to male leadership standards. Right. Or to what was the status quo or the norm, but how to do this in a way that was going to be authentic to them and allow them to thrive in their career at Intel. And it was more about equipping them, not fixing them, that they had all the tools. Like how could I surround them with the support that would enable them and give them kind of that boost up? Right? How could we accelerate that career progression to get them to that next level?
Yeah, interesting. So I mean, when you said problem statement, the problem, like, is it that the first problem that you're trying to solve is, well, we need more women in leadership positions. So that's not what you're talking about. That was sort of the context of it.
Was the context?
Yeah. So you're saying, Maybe the problem statement, the way that you were going at it is, what is the chat? Why are we not? You're looking for the reasons why you're not seeing the kind of representation or the growth of representation. And so your research was really
and retention of the women currently.
Why don't we see more people, more women coming up? Why don't we see them more of them staying? Mm-hmm. And so you're going in and you're saying, oh, this is the question I'm coming in with. And so I just want to repeat back. So what you heard is something about like a level playing field. They didn't feel seen or respected, maybe. And it's not a level playing field. Is that right?
Correct. I mean, even to the extent that they didn't have as many role models above them who looked like them, because when you think about, we had fewer percentage in our executive ranks who are women, right? They don't have as many role models to look up to. Women tend to be over-mentored and under-sponsored. And we know that sponsorship, for example, is a key lever in helping make that next leadership jump.
What's the difference
having
between
a sponsor?
Yeah, what's the difference between this? That's good. I had never thought of that. What's the difference between mentorship and sponsorship, over mentored and under spot? That's crazy. That's a key insight. What is the difference there?
Well, you know, mentorship is they'll talk with you, right? They'll work with you, help you develop, share insights. A sponsor will actually talk about you in the room when you're not there, right? The sponsor will open doors. They will make connections. They'll talk about you, they'll advocate for you and be your champion. Because sometimes a lot of these decisions of who's getting that high profile project, who's being considered for a promotion, who can get that expanded scope, those are decisions that leaders are having without the candidates in the room. So having somebody that vouches for you.
Okay. Before I have to ask, before we talk about what you decided to design into this program and talk about not fixing but equipping, which I love. Mm-hmm. How come you didn't focus on teaching the existing leaders about sponsorship, or like if they weren't respecting them, like, don't you have to have a program where you're like, hey, if you know, you need to see and hear these women more, like, is it their responsibility? I imagine they're smart. They're doing great work. Why aren't
great
you doing
question.
A men's training program?
Great question. You know, part of it is the access and how you equip the women, and you also provide an opportunity for executives to come and support this critical pipeline as well. We can talk a little bit more about what I designed in, but sponsorship was a key lever, and we do train sponsors. So we've experimented over the last couple of years. So we've learned what works, what doesn't work, and we've refined it. And we have this great playbook on sponsorship that is both for the protege and the sponsor. Ultimately, about 75% of the work and the accountability is on the protege and 25% on the sponsor, but the sponsor still needs some skin in the game, and it should be a two-way value, right? They put into it and they get out of it as well.
Sure, right. I'm not just doing you a favor.
We are addressing that as part of the program. How do we engage our executives, both men and women, so all genders? And we have a couple of different ways, and sponsorship is one of those.
Fantastic. Okay. Now take me through what have you, and let's start with where we are today, and maybe then we'll back up to what didn't work. But I think we should, what's interesting is what is included? What is a Women's Leadership Academy? Mm-hmm. You know, is it a weekend retreat? Is it a 3-year program? And then what gets covered? What have you learned to build in, and what percentage is like, I'm going to teach you, you know, it's like the content versus the exercises and all that stuff. What is this? Tell me about this.
Sure. I would love to tell you more about this. And I'll preface it by saying one of our leaders had talked about it as like a buffet. Like, I can come to this beautiful buffet, and depending on what I need, I can pick and choose and take what is going to be most valuable for me when I need it.
Okay.
Because part of the design was also about making it accessible and easy to digest, right? Every leader is working around the clock, right? They're busy. They've got tight schedules. So how do you make these things that they can prioritize and make time? So I'll preface it with the beautiful buffet.
Yes, right. It's not one size fits all, because there's a lot of different people that love different eating styles. I like the buffet metaphor. All right.
Yeah. So one of them was giving them the support, like a support team. And so giving them access to a leadership coach. One of the things we know about women as well, that they tend to put their team first, put their job first. Meaning that they're prioritizing the development of their team. They're putting their job and their own personal development keeps on the back burner. I'll get to it. And they don't. And so one of the things is we just bring attention. It's time to prioritize your career growth. And we want to give them a leadership coach to really help them think through, what are those things that are really going to help me get to that next level? What is it that I want to work on? What is the leadership capability? What does my personal journey look like? And we pair them with those certified leadership coaches. So that's one.
Right.
We've talked a bit about sponsorship. So we keep sponsorship as a critical part of the program. The first year, we were matching more based on compatibility. And we learned that, whoever their sponsor is needs to have a seat at the table where they're having conversations.
Mm.
They need to be in that influential position.
Mm-hmm.
So we've said, yes, compatibility is a good thing, right? That may help the likelihood of having a longer relationship, which is good, and having that compatibility, but it's also more important that they actually have a seat at the table, that they are in a position of this leader's career path and can help open some doors and make decisions for them. So a sponsor is another key person that we put in that support bubble for them.
Can I hold on that for a second? So do you say, all right, person in, you know, woman in the Leadership Academy, we're going to pair you up with a sponsor, and then you talk to the sponsor and you say, you talk to the person you've identified and say, hey, Would you like to be a sponsor? This is the person that you're going to be paired up with. Like, what's the mechanics of like actually making that happen?
We've done that the first couple of years, and we've learned from that, that ensuring that you get somebody at the right level in the right position to really make an impact on this leader's career. We now partner with the protege, with the leader. So we give the protege some training. We go through a great playbook, a self-assessment, understanding their goals. Part of this is wanting to also teach them to fish. So if you've been a leader and you've got a sponsor, there's a reorg and now your sponsor is in a different place, or maybe your sponsor has left the company and you're now left without a sponsor. So by teaching them how to look for sponsors, how to seek them, it can even be looking in their network of who's informally sponsoring them, how to formalize that relationship, who's maybe advocating for them that they can tap into,
So they
who's
make
in
the,
the.
and then they learn how to, and then they make the ask.
Well, we make the ask for them, but we have them give us three potential candidates and we have them identify
I like that.
what is the value add. So here's the candidate. Why did you pick them as a candidate? And what value can you bring to the work and priorities that that leader is doing? So they have to ensure that two-way value. And then we do the administrative kind of marketing, selling that.
Selling the idea. Yeah.
Well, it's a great opportunity for a sponsor. There's a lot of benefits to being a sponsor. They get to increase their leadership legacy. They get to focus on leadership equity by maybe expanding who they're sponsoring. They get somebody with some shared passion and commitments who is committed to providing value to them. And then they get just the goodness and the satisfaction, right, of developing. And if you think about their executive leadership, like how great does that look when you can say as a leader, I truly am sponsoring and building our next generation of executive leaders.
Fantastic. Thank you for clarifying and illuminating that. All right. So we've got the training, the sponsorship. What else?
Another core component is a monthly cohort. And this came out of my research that women will support other women. And sometimes you just need to create the environment that will organically make those relationships happen. And often in tech, you might be the only woman on your leadership team. You might be the only
It's actually
one.
probably pretty likely, right?
Yeah,
Given the
one or
numbers.
two. And so they don't have, you know, we talked about the busy schedules. They may not have an opportunity to really develop those relationships in their day-to-day work. And part of this is knowing you're not alone, that there are other women and they will support each other.
That's a big part of
So
it.
the idea is giving them access to an executive mentor. So we've small circles, about 10 women with an executive who's a mentor, all genders as well for the mentoring
For
role.
the exact, yep. Okay.
Yeah. And then I even take it a step further and we give a facilitator who is kind of an upcoming leader. So not quite at our leadership level for the Women's Leadership Academy, but they're going to come in and facilitate and get exposed, right? Partnering with this executive, getting to know this dynamic group of women leaders. So it's a win for everybody involved. We give some leadership content and it's very light. It's not necessarily instructing. This year we did it on the leadership challenge, right? Encouraging the heart, inspiring a shared vision, some really core leadership lessons. So light and heavy on the discussion.
Yeah, well, he heavy on the relationship building.
We
Right,
do
leave
an
room for that.
icebreaker at the beginning so they get to know each other. We do the leadership topic that they can really explore based on their leadership, based on their perspectives, the lens that they bring. And then we also end with career progression topics.
Great.
So we have a monthly theme. So there'll be a topic there. And many of them built some really tight relationships. And I will tell you too, we talked about the executive commitments. I have had the same executives come back every year because it's such a rewarding experience for them to be in this mentor role.
Great. Fantastic. That's amazing. Is there, is that, that is, that's obviously a lot, plenty. Are, is there any more? Is there anything else? Any other
elements? Yeah. Yeah. Those are the core elements.
Okay. Those are the
we
core.
Do a leadership assessment. So that also feeds into
you can
their,
see what the gaps are,
their progression plan, their coach, right? So we do provide a leadership assessment for them. And we do a monthly speaker series. And most of the speakers that come in are executives. They're speaking on our theme. We've had some great talks on building trust and credibility with customers, for example. We did a networking panel. So three different executives from different parts of the company talking about networking. So sometimes, especially a lot of introverts, deep technical people, it's a little bit more of a challenge. So sharing a lot of key learnings from that.
The speakers that you're saying you bring in, but you just, are they from the outside? Or are they from the inside?
On the inside, I'm again kind of getting
that's
exposure
so
to
interesting.
Leadership.
So you're elevating, you think of like a speaker series and you think of, oh, here's this author or here's this expert or whatever, but you're elevating these people and you're like, and then that's part of the pitch, right? These people from outside, from elsewhere in this organization coming. And so you get to connect, I imagine, right? You get to meet someone that you wouldn't have met before, and you've elevated those, that leader to a place of like, share with us, become, you know, be a speaker. What is the specific? Here's what we're talking about. That's really smart. I hadn't, when you said leadership, that when you said a speaker series, I mean, that's why I immediately thought TED, right? Like something like that, but it's just very cool. That's a
and
very
they turn
cool
out
idea.
To be very conversations. Like these are all virtual. We record them for the community because this is a global audience. So I mix up the time zones for them.
Sure.
But we had our chief strategy officer come in, right? He's on our exec. He reports to our CEO. So having access to him and being able to ask questions. We have our corporate VP that leads investor relations. He's coming in next week to talk to this audience. So very intimate, you know, type of that open access and Q&A.
So cool.
Which
So cool.
Everything I've also mentioned doesn't cost a lot of money, right? Tapping into the leadership that you have, getting them engaged. So the first question you asked me, well, why don't you just go train your executives to be more
get
inclusive
compassionate
and compassionate? Yes. And yes, but if you do it in a way, because we also know that trainings don't stick, but experiences, getting to know people, building relationships, that will stick.
Trainings don't stick, but experiences do.
Yes.
Yeah.
So how can you engage them, whether it's a speaker series or coming in and being a mentor in the cohort that we do every month?
So cool. So cool. So, all right. Intel.
We didn't talk about workshops, though. I also give
them you do
workshops.
Okay. All right. Let's before. Okay. Go. Give me workshops. I love a good workshop. So let me hear this.
Yes. So looking at when they came into the Women's Leadership Academy, I would pulse them. I'd survey them, right? Like, what feedback have you been given that you need to develop in order to get to that next level? What are the capabilities and skills that you want to grow and develop and the topics that interest you the most? So based on that, we combined into some themes and also able to, some of them turned into workshops. I like to pride myself with having a pretty strong network and being very collaborative. So I know people. So one of them is we created a strategy coaching workshop, which is phenomenal. I partnered with a couple top strategists that we have at Intel who created this dynamic strategic framework that is a great way for teams and leaders to drive this collaborative process in developing strategy. And we combine it with peer-to-peer coaching, which really helps to elevate somebody's strategic thinking and even their strategic presence. So we created an internal workshop and run them through that. That has been phenomenal results.
So cool. And is that like, so you're offering the monthly cohort, you've got your speaker series, you got how often are the workshops run?
I offer them the whole series is 7 months. And then I offer the workshops at least once or twice during those 7 months. So they can pick those. We also have one of the top things that the women leaders wanted to develop: executive presence, leadership presence, confidence. Sometimes it's really hard to describe. And so we had developed, partnered with a vendor a couple of years ago and developed an authentic leadership presence workshop. It's a 7-week series and it's very powerful. It's an inside out approach. So I kind of take this as, I remember hearing somebody tell me once that they'd gone to a training about executive presence and they were told, if you're a woman, don't carry a purse, you know, carry a very masculine looking briefcase when you walk into a room. And it's like, oh, that's probably a good tip. But with this approach, we want to make it that it doesn't matter what you carry your stuff in. It doesn't matter what you put your bag in, that you have the confidence when you walk in, because it's an inner part. So that's been a very popular workshop that we have.
That sounds amazing. That sounds amazing.
That's excited about that one.
Yeah. Inside out. Like that's a whole, we could just do a talk on. We could just have an episode on that. That's amazing. All right. So, most organizations and most of the people listening to this podcast are not part of 100,000 person organizations. And yet they struggle, all tech, most tech companies struggle with the same thing that you're talking about. What would you advise? Let's say an organization is, you know, Series C, or maybe they're pre-IPO, and they're going there, and they realize this is an issue. Maybe the question is like, should they develop their version of a women's leadership academy? Like what would you advise when, based on, you now have a 3 years experience running this program, you have many, many years as a leadership coach. So if you're talking to an organization of 500, 1,000, you know, even, you know, 2,000, 3,000, how would you advise them to start trying to move those numbers?
You know, definitely looking at that leadership pipeline and what is the representation numbers that they have from a management standpoint. There was a great, I think it was McKinsey report on women, and they talked about the broken rung, that it's not higher up. It starts in more of that middle manager where women aren't getting that next up in the ladder. And it may be that they're not getting that management position. So I think from a looking at representation, do you have the women represented in your management ranks? Because that is something that's going to be, you know, moving up. Are you getting them to say yes and going into management? Are you having the policies and the benefits, right, that are supporting all career growth elements, I think is important. And I think going back to some of the simple things, creating the mentorship community, the mentoring circles, especially in tech, there may not be as many women. So if you can help them create those communities and build those connections, they're going to provide some support. I think sponsorship is a great one too. And if you're a bit smaller of a company, also starting with the executives, the leaders who are sponsoring, really asking them to identify, who are you sponsoring? You know, who are you spending your time with? Who has access to you? And sometimes even looking on your calendar for a week and saying, who's getting my attention and my time? Is that inclusive? You know, do I have a diverse network and a diversity in who I'm spending my time and attention with? Can be an eye opener sometimes. I know you talk a lot about culture, right? And you have to walk the talk. You have to have the behaviors match the words. And if you say you're an inclusive and this is a place where all people can thrive in leadership, you really need to ask your leaders, you know, are they walking that talk? Are they spending time? Are they helping to develop sponsoring and mentoring a diverse pipeline?
I mean, what I'm taking away from this conversation is creating experiences that inspire and strengthen these relationships. I love the directionality of the sponsorship, where it's, this is a relationship. This is a relationship that I have a responsibility for. I think that's kind of the ultimate, where it's like, I'm going to speak for you, right? I'm going to advocate for you. But all of these other aspects, I do, yes, there are many skills. You're talking about that executive presence. I think those are important, and the strategy and all those pieces. But every one of those aspects that you're talking about, there is some kind of relationship building undertone or something like that to it. And I just think that that's a really interesting piece of this, where the question I would ask startups, right, which is like, how can you create those relationships that creates the scaffolding for these women to be more successful? Yes, there is the, I'm not feeling, you know, I'm not being seen. I'm not being feeling hurt. Yes, we need to address those. But what is it? How do you create those relationships and those networks? And the next thought I have is, well, if you have a small organization, you're going to have even fewer women. So how can your organization support creating a network outside of that, outside of your organization too? Because that's going to be really important. Hey, we're going through this together. Let's talk about this. And it's not just a women's circle just for the sake of having relationships. It's a leadership circle where it's like, we're going to come together to support one another in the aspiration of moving up. How are we going to handle this? How are we going to do this? And I think that buy-in from the organization is really important, and creating those relationships just is, you've revealed for me a really big piece of this that has just not been there.
And sometimes it's having those conversations. And I love the idea of listening sessions, right? Any size organization can hold a listening session with a very small number and ask some of these really open questions and listen. So there is an accountability. You do need to follow up, right? Based on what you hear, you need to walk the talk, and you need to actually take some actions based on what you hear. But that is a fantastic way to build relationship and engagement, by saying, I'm really going to listen to you. What is important? What matters to you in this company and in your ability to thrive in your career here and feel like you can grow into that future leadership levels?
Yeah. Wow. Oh my gosh. Yes. So much. My brain is just popping with all this information. This is incredible. Thank you so much for coming on Great Mondays Radio. Pam Kelly Doctor is a leadership coach, and she started and runs the Women's Leadership Academy at Intel. You can find her if you have questions about this specifically, or leadership generally. You can find her on LinkedIn. Her last name is KELLEY-DOCKTER. This has been, Pam, this has been amazing. There's so much to think about and take from this. And it's my hope that there's going to be more of these opportunities for organizations to be able to elevate more of their and have more women stick around within these tech roles, because there is just a lot of talent that needs to be supported, and it's something that we can do and we should do, and it is a good investment of our time and energy, and I think that makes the business all the much better.
Great. Well, thank you for having me, and thank you to your audience for listening.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Thanks for listening to Great Mondays Radio. Hey, if you want to be a guest, head over to radio.greatmondays.com. And if you think this episode was interesting and your friends and fans would enjoy it, please share on social media. And if you want to get more people to understand the power of company culture in business today, please rate and review Great Mondays Radio on your podcast feed. It really helps us reach more people. If you want to hear more candid conversations with culture leaders, subscribe to Great Mondays Radio. I'd love to connect with you. Find me on LinkedIn at AKA Josh Levine, on YouTube at Great Mondays. And you can always email me, josh@greatmondays.com. Find out more about our work with hypergrowth technology and social enterprise organizations at greatmondays.com. I'm Josh Levine. Thanks for listening to Great Mondays Radio.